My name is Heidi, and my son, Ben, is vaccine injured, and he now has autism. And I just want to say how happy I am today to share my story with you. And I'm just thrilled to know that the documentary, The Truth About Cancer, is leading to the truth about vaccines. And the more people that can hear this message, the better. And if you're out there and you think you're alone, you're not. It takes a village. And just keep watching.
What's that like as a mother? Because how soon after the vaccine did this happen?
Right. It was so Ben was born right on time, came right on his due date, and was a very, very healthy boy. I'm going to try to get through this without crying. He was very healthy up until about 15 months, and it was at that time I thought it was his well visit, and I took him in for his, at that time he was due for his MMR vaccine. Thankfully, he had an ear infection, so that delayed it 3 months. So they didn't want to give him the vaccine when he was on an antibiotic for the ear infection. But unfortunately, that at that point pushed his immune system down. And when he was 18 months, we went back for the MMR. And right after the MMR, I wouldn't say right away, but like it was kind of a gradual. A few weeks after, we noticed a very significant decrease in eye contact. He had language that he had lost. So he had lost significant amounts of language. He developed explosive diarrhea, and he would play in the perimeter of the park, the playground, wherever we were. He just would isolate himself to the garden or on the outside of the playground. And there was a few scary moments where I thought, where is he? I thought we had lost him. And as a mother, your heart's pounding out of your chest thinking, where's my boy? And he would just kind of wander off, and you know, we couldn't keep track of him.
You have to deal with the challenge of feeling like you, or knowing that you put your son through a procedure that harmed him like really severely. How did you process that when you had to come to grips with something that was happening by virtue of that vaccine that you had helped to administer?
Right. So as a mother, as a parent, you believe what the doctors tell you. And I thought, you know, as an occupational therapist, I had kids that were on the spectrum when I was in the school system, that I had mothers tell me, oh, it was the vaccines. And in the back of my mind, I kind of put it in the way back of my mind. And as a therapist, I thought, oh, they're just trying to blame something on autism. Well, if I would have listened to my heart, I would have listened to those mothers that were trying to warn me, which is, I've turned into that mom because I'm warning other mothers about the injury that could happen, not to every child, but what one works for one child won't work for another. So one size doesn't fit all. But to answer your question, I have blamed myself for a long time. And I remember one of my mentors and autism heroes, Jenny McCarthy, who I've met several times on this journey, she went through that as well. She blamed herself. And I remember Jim Carrey telling her, to heal it, you need to feel it. And so I have embraced that because, like Jenny and many other moms, we do blame ourselves because we put our child in danger without knowing it. So I had to face that and really feel it and cry for a long time and start to heal because we didn't intend to hurt our babies.
Perhaps a lot of mothers get really crippled by feeling so upset at what's happening that it shuts them down from being able to take redemptive measures to go after how to help their child because it's so hard to deal with that, and then to even, I don't know how much of the community is in denial that this autism that my child has was caused by the vaccine. I don't know how many people are in denial because I think that would be the hardest thing ever to accept. But not accepting it would mean that the child can't get the help they need, because if you don't know what did this,
right,
how are you going to know what's going to take it away? But Okay, so tell me, like, tell me how your child digressed, like, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so you mentioned a few of the points, and then how did that manifest in later years of his life? How old is he now? Take us through the.
Sure, like a timeline.
Yeah, that'd be great, and stay with me on the challenges as they compounded, and why you believe that they were directly tied to the vaccine.
So when he was three, I told you already he was diagnosed with autism, and I knew. Thankfully, as an occupational therapist working in pediatrics, it was really a God thing that probably 80% of my caseload, these kids had autism. And I knew that the kids on a gluten-free diet were doing the best. So I told my husband, you know what? I know it's going to be a pain in the neck, but the kids that are on this specific diet are doing the best. And so he said, look, whatever you want to do, I fully support you. So. Shortly, right before the gluten-free diet, that was the first intervention we did because I thought, you have direct access to food. I can certainly change my child's diet. So we took away gluten first and then dairy next. But I noticed just removing gluten 3 weeks into the diet. Okay, you have to remember this kid had very little eye contact, had lost language, and would isolate himself. So 3 weeks into the diet, he put his hand on the door, looked right at me, and said, want to go outside? And I was like, we are doing this. So at age three, we did the gluten-free diet probably for about a month, really strict. And he went into sweats, like night sweats, would wet the bed at night, just complete detox. And I remember my mom calling me saying, you're not a doctor, what are you doing? It was a scary time. And I was like, I know, but it's food. I'm just taking away food. I knew I wasn't hurting him. So I knew right away, luckily from my clients, about the gut-brain connection, and I saw within 3 weeks that it was working for my son. And so after removing gluten, we decided, okay, now it's time to remove dairy. Even though he didn't eat a lot of dairy, I thought, let's just remove it entirely. And that helped his constipation issues. So by just removing those two things, you could see the decrease in inflammation because of his increased language, increased eye contact, and because of his issues with his gut and not being so constipated. So that was from age three. And then we continued till, let's see, when he was about four, I went to my first DAN conference, Defeat Autism Now, in Anaheim. And that's when I met Dr. Jeff Bradstreet. Again, I'm going to try not to cry, because he's no longer with us, but that man really put a dent in my child's microbiome. And so not only were we on the diet, he helped us identify that Ben had huge amounts of candida yeast in his gut that were at a very toxic level. And he also had a really bad virus called bacteria, which is called Clostridia. So we went on an antibacterial medication and antifungals, and doing a routine liver function test to make sure he was tolerating that okay. And so we did that for about 2 years, and then we tried hyperbaric oxygen therapy. We rented up from Bradstreet, we rented a soft chamber, okay? So every night, my husband went into the hyperbaric oxygen chamber with Ben, thankfully, because I'm claustrophobic, I couldn't do it. So he went into this chamber, which is probably about, if you guys aren't familiar, is about the size of like a conference table. Like a 3 foot by like 9 foot, 8 foot, 9 foot in length. And so they call them dives. Every time you go in for a dive. So we rented this from Bradstreet. He said, just try it. You know, it's going to give him the oxygen that he needs. So because we had healed his gut, you have to do that first. Heal the gut through the diet and the medications that we did. And then you want to feed the good cells with the oxygen. So that's the purpose of the hyperbarics. So I want to say maybe 10 dives, so 10 days into the hyperbarics, he started interacting with his brother. So they immediately started playing chase around the house. And we were like, wow, he actually knows he has a brother, and they're interacting. So that was pretty amazing. So let's see, diet, hyperbarics. We did intensive applied behavior analysis, which is the only research-proven method to teach children with autism how to learn. And we did that through CARD, Center for Autism and Related Disorders, where we had a tremendous team of therapists that came to our house around the clock 25 hours a week. Let's see, it's going down the list. We've tried medical marijuana. We did, it was a CBD oil that Bradstreet recommended, and that actually helped decrease his stimming. So he used to like hand flap or, you know, do these kinds of things. That started to decrease with the CBD oil.
What does that mean? What was that about?
Oh, it's a visual stim. Like a lot of kids will like look through the lines of their hand, their fingers, like and go.
Yeah, and with autism.
Yes.
Is it specifically, that's like.
They call it like a visual stim, like. And he would kind of do, we call it the growl. He would kind of go, who knows why, but all of that kind of melted away. So many things we did. Glutathione IV, which is very powerful for the immune system. We did N-acetylcysteine through IV.
And what was the result that you got?
So by doing all of those things that I've mentioned, it just kept bringing Ben closer to us. So better eye contact, more social interaction, less of the stimming behavior, the hand flapping, the visual stims started to go down. More social interaction, not just with us, but with his peers. He would improve in those areas. So I felt like we had done so many things up until, let's see, so that was age 3 when he was diagnosed. We were with Bradstreet from when he was like age 4 till he was 11. Okay, so we did so many things under his care. And then, so just 2 years, about a year and a half ago, right after we gave up the, 2 years ago, we had to let go of the CBD oil, the medical marijuana oil, because we started at Arizona State University. We did a fecal transplant with Dr. Jim Adams. And that was recommended by Jeff Bradstreet because he said, look, in spite of everything that you're doing for his gut, he still wins the award for the most wicked sick gut. That's, and I quote him, that's what he said. And so I said, okay, so what do we do? And he said, well, Dr. Jim Adams is doing a study for fecal transplant. Are you familiar with that? So we did it, and Ben turned out to be one of the best responders in the study. And one of the biggest changes we saw in him was he stopped wetting the bed completely with the fecal transplant. And I think that has a lot to do with the inflammation that went down with lining the gut flora with the good bacteria. So that was 2 years ago. But one thing, and I've given Dr. Adams feedback with this, one thing he didn't really stress, which he's going to stress in future studies, was how do we feed the good microbes? How do we keep feeding the gut with all the good bacteria? And that's when I discovered the Bravo probiotic yogurt, which was an amazing thing for Ben, because right after the study, we weren't getting any more of the transplant into his body. He started wetting the bed again, which to me said, okay, we've got candida or some type of inflammation is back. So once we started the Bravo, just 3 days of the Bravo probiotic yogurt, taking it orally, he stopped wetting the bed. His eye contact was getting better. His social interaction was improving. And that's when I met Dr. Marco Ruggiero, who you met the other day. And we learned very quickly that we just live 3 miles from each other. And so those emails led to phone calls led to in-person meetings with he and I and his wife, Dr. Pacini. And that's when he asked me almost 1 year ago to share the stage with him at Autism One. And shortly before that, we had started Rerum, R-E-R-U-M, which is a vitamin D oral emulsion that targets bad cells of the immune system and builds up the immune system and kills the bad cells. So we started on a protocol kind of building on everything that we had done. So we moved from just being gluten-free, dairy-free to transitioning over to the ketogenic diet. And then we added, we were already on the Bravo probiotic yogurt, and then we started Rarum, the oral emulsion, the vitamin D emulsion, and then also added in MyAmino, which was developed, it's one of Dr. Reinwald's, who I work for now, his, it's one of the components of the amino acid chain that gives you 8 essential amino acids that not only will it give you a perfect amount of protein, it's not a capsule, it's a very concentrated form in a tablet that gives you the 8 essential amino acids that you need every day and won't produce any extra glucose or nitrogenic waste, and helps you build good muscle, lean muscle tissue, and help the immune system.
And tell me about GCMAF versus Rerum, okay, and that relationship and what that means and who was involved in even the creation of GCMAF. And
sure, okay. So GCMAF is vitamin D macrophage activating factor. It's no longer available. And when I first discovered it 2 years ago, that was right when Dr. Bradstreet had passed, and we were actually getting ready to try it through under his care. And so when he was no longer with us, I thought, how do I get my hands on this? Okay, and so that's when I found Dr. Marco Ruggiero, who he actually, before Dr. Bradstreet left us, he said to Marco, he said, I need you to make something that is fully licensed, fully legal, fully certifiable, and something like GCMAF, but is not derived of any human blood protein. And so being the genius that he is, he went right to work and did it and invented what we call Rerum, which means of things or from the earth. And Rerum actually is what we like to say the evolution of GCMAF. And it's actually better because you don't have to worry about it being contaminated by any human protein. It's vitamin D2, vitamin D3, oleic acid, and chondroitin sulfate. And so the really cool thing about that is it comes in a vial, very similar to what you would find in an essential oil bottle, like three mLs. And with GCMAF, one of those vials would only last you a few weeks. But with Rerum, because it's nano-sized, you can stretch it with a smaller amount, you can use it for over a period of months, depending on your condition. So what happens when the Rerum enters the bloodstream, it releases what we call macrophages, which I like to call the Pac-Mans of the immune system, and they're very smart. So these macrophages go after cancer cells, viruses, nagelase, which is very often found in vaccines. And so that's why cancer patients are improving. That's why children with autism are improving, because these macrophages go right to the source. They destroy the bad cells, and they know how to multiply the good cells. So that's why it actually, they work together to rebuild the immune system.
And what were the results you saw in your son, Ben?
So yes, so right after we started the Rerum, I would say, oh, it's so hard to remember. We've been on it for almost a year now, but we started in very small doses, and I would say within a week, we noticed he stopped, because he had started wetting the bed again when we stopped the fecal transplant. He actually stopped wetting the bed. His eye contact was consistent. He started new language. Like, he started asking, you know, think about all the WH questions, who, what, when, why. He started asking why, like why questions, or where are we going, or who is that? Like all this new language. I was like, who is this child? Like, wow. And he also blossomed into an amazing artist. So you've seen those adult coloring books? Like what he creates, it looks like an adult created. And now he's doing watercolor canvas paintings on his own. He just turned 13. So, and before all of this treatment, he was much more in like a self-contained classroom. and now he's fully mainstream in a typical regular gen ed classroom.
How evident is it that I mean, you mentioned that he's gone from being in a special class to being in mainstream, is that correct?
Yes.
And then how evident is it now that he has autism?
Okay, so if he were here today, kind of wandering around the conference, you wouldn't know that he had autism.
What if I was to speak to him? And
if you were to speak to him, you might pick up on, oh, maybe he's shy or something, but that's one thing that we're working on, the social piece and the conversation piece. So he might come up to you and initiate, you know, and say, hi, Jonathan. Or he might say, hi, my name is Ben, what's your name? And then you would tell him, I'm Jonathan, and he might not know what to say next. But there's other times where he'll come up to me and go, hey, Mom, that's a pretty dress, or things like that. So he's kind of on the shy side, so we're working on those. We always try to contrive situations, social situations. We use the social thinking curriculum, so it really challenges his social skills. We feel really blessed. And we're still, of course, working on academics. You know, he's not quite up to grade level at all with reading or math, but as far as his behaviors, you know, he looks like a typical child.
It's awesome.
Which we feel really blessed.
What kind of future do you foresee for him?
Well, if you ask him what he wants to do, he'll say, I want to be a chef or a gardener or an artist. So I see him, realistically, I could see him working, you know, at a, we go to a restaurant every Sunday after church, and the owner just has a heart for kids with special needs. Her grandson has special needs, and she's always told me if Ben ever wants to work here, I would love to have him. So I could see him working, it's called the Gilbert House in Gilbert. I could see him, you know, bussing tables, or, you know, one day being a cashier at a grocery store, or being a barista at a coffee shop, which I would be very pleased with. Wow. He's going to have a future, and he's actually, my definition of autism recovery is making a friend on your own, and he's starting to do that, making friends on your own.
And that's what he wants.
Yeah, he does. He thrives around typical children, and he just wants to be part of a group, which is a huge obstacle for a lot of kids with autism. So he notices he's part of a group, and he really wants to be part of, you know, the friends around him, which is a huge improvement for where we were.
Why do you believe wholeheartedly that your son was vaccine injured?
Well, because I know, even though I didn't notice the very next day, I know that the lights in my baby's eyes went out. You know, it was just, he wasn't there anymore. And so as a mom, that's my subjective opinion, but we've also done biomarkers and blood tests. I even had Dr. Bradstreet, he wrote a letter of causation that said the constituents in his vaccines pushed him over into microencephalopathy. And more than likely caused, you know, RNA, DNA damage to his mitochondrial, because he did have mitochondrial dysfunction after those vaccines. And I myself, I'm vaccine injured. And so I know my immune system wasn't set up to provide him with immune system to start out with. And then he probably would have done fine had he not received all those vaccines. So I think that's one thing that pediatricians and gynecologists really need to educate young mothers that, gosh, I wish I would have nursed him longer. Is your immune system ready to have this child? So it's all about the immune system. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah,
that,
it does. Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely, I know, we look back at pictures and videos that we can just see, you know, before the lights were on. And then afterwards, the lights went out. So I call it navigating the dark through a dark warehouse called autism. And the key is to always keep doing something. So what works for one child may not work for another. But I will tell you, universally, we know from being at this conference and many other conferences and just reading research, most every dis-ease starts in the gut. So if you start to heal the gut, you start to fix the problems. So people say, wow, you really saved Ben, or you really helped Ben. And I say, no, he saved me. Because not only are these protocols working for autism, I'm also on the protocol for my own autoimmune disorder. I have Hashimoto's, and I'm starting to see a decrease in my symptoms by healing the gut.
It's amazing. Well, yeah. Thank you. That's incredible. And just hot.
Thank you. My,
oh, you're welcome. My last one for you is just, as a mother, you know, like I can see how much you want the best for your child. Like, you think about his future all the time, I could tell, and the way that you spoke about it, and to have gone through what you went through is like, it's too much to bear for most people. And I just, if you could describe to me what it's like to be a mother and to just to witness what you witnessed and to kind of experience that kind of trauma, and what was, tell me.
I'm sorry. Just that question that you brought up reminds me of my last meeting with the VAX team when you're in Phoenix, and it's overwhelming as a parent, because you think something's wrong with you, and people think you're crazy. How could it be the vaccine? My kid's fine. And, you know, until now, till all of this evidence come out, thank God for Dr. Andrew Wakefield and Polly Tomey and Del Bigtree and all these heroes, and now Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and our president, who's fully supporting us. We just want to get the truth out there. The truth is, we don't want any other baby to be part of our club. And it's not just autism. It's, you know, the Gardasil vaccine and the Hep B vaccine. Babies are dying as we speak because we don't have any vaccine safety program. So it's, to answer your question, it's been very hard as a mom because, like I said in the beginning, we did everything that the doctors told us and what Western medicine believes is healthy. And we're not an anti-vaccine community. We believe in vaccines, otherwise we would not have gotten the vaccine for our child. But we just want to take the junk out. You know, let's go back to 1983, like the Dutch in Holland, when autism was 1 in 10,000. And, you know, we just want a better, we want safety, we want safe vaccines. We want ones that work, that are proven safe and effective, and ones that there aren't any stockholders or people making money off of dead babies. So,
thank you.
Yeah, so my mantra is faith, hope, knowledge, recovery. Because you know what? The powers that be out there want you to believe that this is your story, that you are stuck in this forever, and that's not true. Our kids can get better. And, you know, some are more worse off than others, but the key is to start at the root, the root of your beautiful baby, your tree, from the ground up. I call it a yoga house. You build it from the ground up, and that it all starts in healing the gut. Because no matter what you do, no matter what supplements you're on, if you aren't on a healthy diet, nothing you do is going to prove itself effective. We know today in the research that shows that the immune system of a person with cancer is very similar to a child with autism. And why is that? Damage to the immune system. So I've seen it in conference after conference, and so I was thrilled to hear you say that. I mean, what a wonderful segue to say, look, the truth about cancer, the truth about vaccines, and you're putting it together. I think it's amazing. It's like a marriage between the heart and lungs. You know, you're helping me breathe to see that again. Because you know what, when you come out with one documentary, that will bring up so many other questions, and that will lead to another, and you just keep going. Because you're gonna target one audience after another. because the people that have cancer are going to want to see the truth about cancer. The people, you know, the truth about vaccines are going to want to see that one. And then, and you know what? In the end, we're going to figure out that it all comes back to the immune system, right?
Yeah.
The gut-brain connection and the third brain that a lot of people don't know that we have, which is the microbiome, and we have to feed it in a healthy way.